This is A View from the Bridge, unofficial podcast of the Belfast Giants for kingdomofthegiants.com. Today's the 30th of August 2012 and my name is Patrick Smith. How's it going, everybody? Just a couple of days before the game against the Tilburg Trappers, which is the start of the pre-season for the new Belfast Giants team, and just over a week until the puck drops on a new Elite Ice Hockey League season when the Giants travel to face the Brayhead Clan. A lot of changes have taken place in the off-season, not least the league structure, and we did chat about a month or two ago to Doug Christensen, and Doug has kindly able to come on again and chat to us with only days remaining before this Giants team take to the ice for the first time. If you want to get in touch with us here on A View from the Bridge, you can go on Twitter at AVFTB, that's at AVFTB. You can also drop us an email, podcast@kingdomofthegiants.com, or go to the website, of course, which is www.kingdomofthegiants.com/podcast. I spoke to Doug, I got him on the phone, and I actually started by asking him how pre-season preparations were going with only a few days before the first game.
Good. We have all the players in, except for Brock Matheson, but that was expected when I signed him, that, you know, that it was going to take a few days, to get the visa done. He'll be here tomorrow. We've had, two-a-day sessions every day since they've been here. So we're just trying to get the guys in the best shape possible, obviously putting in the systems and giving them an opportunity to get to know one another. But, for where we are today, very, very pleased with it. We've got a long way to go to improve as a team, but I do think that the foundation is there for a great year.
When you bring in a team, when a team's brought in together like this year on year with new personnel, new personalities, new abilities, is it tough to find that gelling point given the fact you've such a short time to prepare for the season to start?
Yeah, it is tough. I mean, it's definitely something that it would be nice to be able to retain all your players, but the reality of the situation with the success that we had last year, we had a lot of players get opportunities elsewhere, and I'm happy for that. That actually helps in recruiting, but it makes for big phone bills and it makes for a busy summer. But for us, it's about putting the guys together in a room, allowing them to get to know each other, and obviously trying to do my due diligence on my part to make sure that we sign good people. And if you sign good people and you put them all in the right direction, hopefully they get along both on the ice and off the ice, and that translates to hopefully a lot of wins.
You spend a lot of time, like I say, on the phone scouting these players, finding the right players with the right abilities to fit into a system that you want to have. Do you ever find that when you get these guys on the ice in pre-season training, that maybe this player or that player actually might fill a different role to the one you had hoped he played, or maybe doesn't fit the role that you had thought, and you have to like make a quick change to what you're planning?
That's definitely happened. Actually, the most poignant case of it, and he knows it, was Jeff Mason. When I first signed Jeff Mason that first month, I was like, oh boy, I'm not sure this is the offensive defenseman that I was looking for. Well, obviously, his slow start the first year turned out that if we had moved him on, it would have been a massive mistake. He wound up being fantastic for us. But, you know, for the most part, the players are what you expect. You expect their skill set to be, you know, what you've heard. If you've done your research, you know what you're going to get, what they look like, what kind of condition they're going to be in. But, you know, for me personally, there's been a few players along the way that have really jumped out at me. And I think that that's something that a couple guys this year so far, I'm like, geez, you know, they're really good hockey players. And hopefully that will, you know, be, you know, then the other players and everybody else will continue to develop. And the guys who made such great first impressions will be able to make it long lasting ones.
One key factor to all the teams that you've brought to Belfast is that the guys seem to have, that you bring in seem to have a lot of experience. Is there any one player this season who you're particularly excited to see perform in this team, or you think will delight the crowd unexpectedly?
I think Damon Rycroft's going to be fantastic for us. I think that, you know, you have all these signings, and although he was fairly early on, I desperately wanted him last winter. When we were adding players, he decided to stay with his club in North America, out of loyalty to his coach and to his teammates. Everything that I heard about the guy was just his character's off the charts. His skill set obviously is fantastic. And the first few days here, he's really jumped out at me as a player that I think will be great for us. Whether or not he's our leading scorer, third leading scorer, fourth leading scorer, or down the line. I think he's a guy that we're going to be able to count on every night to be a contributor, whether it's, you know, in the way that Aaron Clark did, winning faceoffs, killing penalties, playing on the power play, or in a different role. I think Damon Rycroft's going to be great for us.
Once again, you have a strong defensive unit with a lot of experience behind it, but you have to have faith. You obviously have a lot of faith in Stephen Murphy, but how important is it to get a solid core in defense to cut down the number of shots he faces in a night?
Well, I think defense wins championships. There's no doubt about it. I think one of the things that we had last year, we had a lot of offensive defense. We had Jeremy Rebick, we had Tom Dignard, and we obviously had Jeff Mason. You could even make an argument that Ryan Crane was a bit more offensive as well. You know, but this year when we started to look at the team that was coming together for us, and in addition to looking at the teams in our division, I quickly realized that we're going to have to play defense against those teams. We're going to have a little bit more of a steady influence on the blue line as opposed to guys jumping into the play. Of course, with Rob Sandrock and Sam Roberts, you got two guys who've got offensive ability, who can create off the rush. But we've got, you know, with Brock Matheson, Davey Phillips, and Will Colbert, three guys who, you know that their primary job is to play defense, and hopefully those guys are going to be able to shut down the David Lings, Jeff Laguise, you know, the top players throughout the league.
I think the name Rob Sandrock strikes a chord with a lot of guys who remember seeing him way back when, but we're nearly 10 years on from his last incarnation of the Giants. Do we expect to see a different kind of player to the young lad who was hammering shots from the blue line?
Well, number one, he still got the shot. There's no doubt about that. Even just in 2 days of practice, it's impressive. But I think, you know, everybody looks back at the Belfast Giants. Everybody looks back at the original days. I think you'd think Rob Sandrock's 8 feet tall and skates a million miles an hour, and his slap shot, you know, goes actually through the glass. You know, he's not going to be that player, but he's a really good hockey player. You know, even just in the last couple of days, we've had some scrimmages in practice to get a look at what we kind of have, and he stands out as an impact player for us. He's exactly what I thought he was going to be. He's exactly what I thought we signed. Which is a veteran player who can play a lot of minutes, can add to our offense, but also is strong defensively and knows his role.
In the final days of your recruitment and bringing the players in, were you swayed in any way by a possible, maybe a pie in the sky excitement at the fact that there may be players available from a potential NHL lockout, or does that not cross your mind in any way?
It crossed my mind a lot. I think two or three things happened this summer. Some were expected, some were unexpected. Number one is there's really a natural progression in North America. And so what happens on July 1 every year is NHL free agency opens. Mm. All the NHL teams really target their top guys. And about every week to 2 weeks after that, they start going down, further down the list. You know, so they've got their top 10 guys or second 20, and then about August 1st, they start to really look at their American League, you know, teams and what needs they have there.
Yeah.
And when you get to about August 5th, August 10th, the players who had hoped for American League contracts, they know whether they're going to get them or not. And a prime example of that last year is Brock McBride, that all of a sudden August 5th rolls around, he doesn't have a contract in the American League, and he's like, I'm going to go to Europe. And so I had expected something along those lines, and even more so this year with more players not doing it. But actually what happened with a few of the guys was that they were willing to wait to find out until September if there was going to be a lockout, as opposed to leaving North America to come overseas. So I did think that there was going to be a little bit more player movement, especially from the American League, not necessarily NHLers to come over. I don't think NHLers are going to come to Europe unless there's going to be a full year lockout, which I don't expect. I expect the players who it will affect are going to be the guys who are, you know, third, fourth liners, fifth, sixth defensemen in the American Hockey League who really have a choice. Either they're going to play in the East Coast League or they're going to play in Europe. And if there's a lockout, because the guys from the NHL are going to push them out. But with the nature of our league, because the regular season is the most important title, waiting for a player to make that decision December 20th to 25th, we just can't afford to do that. Four of our first five games are against teams in our division. And, you know, we need to make sure that we win those games. And so to try to wait for a player to come in on October 1st, We don't really have that luxury in our league. I think if you're in a league that was, you know, a best of seven playoff series and the playoff title was most important, you might be more willing to wait that additional time and accrue the salary. But for us, with the marketplace the way it shaped out, we decided to make sure that we had our whole team here so that when we hit the ice against Brayhead in 2 weeks, that we'll have a whole team together for a couple weeks who are ready for a new challenge.
Yeah, indeed, Brayhead in 2 weeks, and on Saturday the Tilbert Trappers are coming to the Odyssey Arena. How important are these sort of games to gauge the team's abilities and maybe some of the shortcomings?
Well, I think they're definitely important to make sure that the systems are right, that you have a chance to practice. It's nice to have a video for you to reference to the players in the week. You know, we're going to push ourselves in practice, so our defense are pushed by our forwards are pushed by our D. We need to get better in those situations, you know, and doing that, whether it's practice or games. But there's no doubt in my mind that, you know, the best way to find out how good you are is to line up against an opponent. So I do think it's important for us to have those games. It'd be great if we had more games before we hit the ground running, but it's nice that first two weekends or one-game weekends where we've got full weeks of preparation. You know, we'll have 3 full weeks before we see Nottingham the 15th.
You say about the team hitting the ground running. The Giants won't play a home game in the league until the 20th of September. Is that a concern about trying to get your momentum together? The first couple of games are on the road, or given last season's road form, are you confident in what this team can have by the time they reach the Odyssey?
There's no doubt in my mind that playing on the road early is probably a good thing for the team, always, number one. Provided you get the results, of course. Number one, it allows a team to get to know each other. And also for Belfast, when the season really is tough on the road, to get those games out of the way early while you're fresh, I think is great. Since I've been in Belfast, we haven't had many home starts, so I wouldn't even know what to do if we had a bunch of home games right away. So, you know, if you look at the previous seasons, we've had very, you know, a lot more home games after Christmas than we've had before. This year, we have more home games after Christmas than we have road games. So it is a situation where, for us as a team, we need to get on the road. We need to pick off some of these games against clubs in our division right away. But, you know, it also gives our team a chance to get to know one another on the road, have roommates who aren't your roommates at home, have meals, have chances to get to know each other. So it does help bring a team together early on in the year.
Given your targets in the offseason and forgoing your own modesty, how would you mark your recruitment this season? Do you think you've achieved all the goals that you set out, or were there some targets that just you couldn't get and went elsewhere?
Well, number one, I think our team's good. I like our team. I think that watching our forward group this year, this group up front definitely has the potential to be the best forward group that I've ever coached. It also has the ability to be the most complete forward group that we've had. I think that, you know, just seeing Greg Stewart and Adam Keefe and Daryl Lloyd, we have an element with those three guys that are tough to deal with. Night after night, they're going to hit you, they're going to run you, they're going to be abrasive. You know, they're like sandpaper, and the more they grind on you, the harder it gets on you. We've got tremendous speed. I think Rycroft and Noah Clark are about as fast hockey players as you can get. Obviously, you've got Scott Champagne who can distribute the puck, and Fournier has been impressive as well. So up front, the reality of the situation is our forward group is very, very impressive, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. Our defensive group, it's just very different than what we've had in the past. You know, in the past, especially last year, we were a bit more offensive. This year, because of the quality of our forward group, we didn't have to have that. To me, what we really needed on D was we needed to have offensive defensemen who could create off the rush, who could also create on the power play. We got that. I don't think that there's a better player out there on the market than Sandrock that we were able to get. Our partnership with the University of Ulster was crucial in doing that. You know, Sam Roberts, he's actually a lot bigger than I thought he was going to be. He's thicker. He skates extremely well, which I had expected. And he's just a good person. And so he competes. And then obviously you've got the three guys who are going to be steady Eddies for us, who are going to be able to, you know, play the amount of minutes that we need them to play against other teams' top lines. So it's a little bit different of a makeup in terms of our defense corps, but, to me, that's what we needed. We needed guys who, Brock Mathison on Wednesday night when we play Saturday night is going to be thinking about how to shut down the opposing team. He's not going to be sitting there worried about, trying to get his offensive numbers. And I think that that's something that's important for us, that guys have specific roles, same as forwards, that you've got guys like Errol Lloyd who knows what his job is to get in on the forecheck, to be difficult to play against, to kill penalties, to occasionally play on the power play. And he knows that's what his job is. And so he knows that if he does that, he's going to be, get a reward with ice time if he does that. And same with Brock Mathison and Davey Phillips. So I'm very, very pleased with the way that the teams come together. I think we maximized our budget, which I think is the most important thing. That's what I think that the key is. It's not about spending a budget. It's about maximizing it. Mm-hmm. I think we've done that, and hopefully that will pay dividends over the next 8 months.
Last time we spoke, about a month or so ago, we chatted about the league structure. And since then as well, in a couple of other interviews, you've repeated the fact that so long as the champion for the league comes from our own conference, then the new system would be a success. Is that, do you not feel that could be a demonstration on how skewed the conference system is, that as the season begins, that not all teams are vying for the title on an equal footing, or maybe not all possibilities would be considered fair champions come April?
It's a great question. There's no doubt about it. I mean, I think that, when you look at the premiership in soccer, you look at Major League Baseball, you've got teams that are expecting to win a title, your Manchester City, your Man U's. Mm-hmm. You've got teams that probably aren't expecting to win the title, your Swansea's, that measure a successful season in a different way. Mm-hmm. And same in Major League Baseball. You've got your New York Yankees, and then you've got your Kansas City Royals. So professional sports leagues have that, and having coached in Edinburgh and having had the experience in a small club, a smaller club, I appreciate the fact that there are different goals, that there are different aspirations for what you're trying to accomplish as a professional sports team. When you do what we've done in our league, which I think is something that is the right decision, I do believe it's the right decision, where you're going to have greater rivalries, you're going to have closer games, whether it's Edinburgh Fife or whether it's Nottingham Sheffield, those are important games, and they're going to have more significance to their fan bases as a result of the conference structure. And so I do think that that helps. The only concern that you have is if a team from, the other division were to win the league title without having had to play the toughest schedule. But that is something that's a risk with this. I think that the owners and the GMs deserve credit for taking this risk, because their job is to create a product that people want to come see. Their job is to create competition and an exciting way, and I think that they've done that. But I do think it's important to make sure that the Nottinghams, the Sheffields of the world, the Coventries, the Cardiffs, that when we're playing teams in the other division, we have to realize that we have to win those games, because we have to keep our destiny in our own hands, and there's only one way to do that, and that's to win.
Like I say, it's only a week or so until the first puck of the season officially drops in Brayhead. And so my last question would be, who are your favourites to vie for the title? I assume you'd like to think that Belfast would be there. Who else would you say are strong teams in this league campaign?
Well, it's hard to rule out Brayhead. Let's start with that. I think that obviously they have a schedule that lines up, that they have the ability to be there in March. Whether or not that they wind up being able to do it or not is to be determined. But I think that they're going to be a team come February. Everyone's looking at the standings, thinking that they're in it, looking at their schedule and looking at other teams' schedules. And then I think you have to look at Nottingham and Sheffield. I think that both Coventry and Cardiff, I think, have done a phenomenal job recruiting. The additional money that they saved by not having high-priced British players, but not having Weaver or Jonathan Phillips or Owen in Coventry, they're able to go out and spend that money on imports, and I think that they've done that very well. Mm-hmm. Same thing in Cardiff, the loss of Richardson and Lyle was put into their imports, and they obviously have some very, very good imports. in both of those places. But the loss of those British players hurts them a little bit for depth, and for an 8-month grind, an 8-month playoff like we have, depth is very, very important. And so if they can stay injury free, I think that they can contend as long as they can stay injury free. There's no doubt about that in my mind. Because I do think that they have the quality in both of those places. In terms of depth, Sheffield clearly has the best depth. I think they've got very good role players in terms of Phillips and the British players that they have. Mm-hmm. I think Michelle's a great player. I think that their defense core, in terms of on paper, looks extremely good. There's no doubt about it. I think that they've got guys back there who can do the job for them. Of course, De Caro's a top-level goaltender. And their forward group, you know, Le Guy, Pecker, you just go through the lineup, Gertsen, Shields, Tate. I mean, there's a lot of guys who can put the puck in the net there. And then Nottingham, Nottingham's terrifying. I've said it before, that's the word that I use to describe Nottingham. Mm-hmm. They are terrifying. They've got forwards that are tremendous. They've got great skill. They've got great speed. Corey likes to attack. There's no hiding that. And he's going to come after all the teams in the league with 9 forwards who could be point-of-game guys. And I don't know what his lineup is, but when you look at the centers that they have, who's their third-line center? Matt Myers? Well, Matt Myers, he's a pretty good hockey player. And so there's no doubt in my mind that Nottingham's going to be extremely good. They've got great goaltending. I think the addition of Weaver, you know, one of the problems that Weaver's had the last couple of years is he's had to play 30 minutes a night. Well, mm-hmm. I think he's going to be a lot better hockey player when he plays 20 minutes a night. And so Nottingham's a team that it's hard to look past, and hopefully we'll win a couple of games along the way and make it a little bit fun in Belfast.
Well, thanks very much, Doug. As always, it's been fascinating chatting to you. Especially at this point where it's getting really busy, we appreciate your time.
And my pleasure.
Maybe get to chat to you in a month or so once, and I wish you well for the start of the season.
Sounds great. Enjoy the weekend, and looking forward to seeing all the familiar faces after the Tilburg game.